Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Praise you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that in our hands hold five stones. Reminds us of David when he has got five stones in his pouch and you send him out to a battle. Like what we have sung this morning, indeed, dear Lord, you are the strength in our battle. So, Lord, if we are engaged in some kind of struggles or some kind of battles, I pray that these five stones, Lord, will be your way of telling us. We physically feeling the five stones, telling us, dear Lord, that you are always for us, never against us, and that if we are sent into any kind of battle, any kind of struggle, that forever, dear Lord, you will be our strength. So I pray for victories upon victories upon victories upon victories upon victories. Five victories and even more victories, O Lord, to be released into your people. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, David the shepherd boy showed us how we can be excellent even in crisis. And we are dealing with hope at this moment, and we are also talking about this value called excellence. I would say to you that there is hope in crisis when we are in Christ. And to be excellent, well, there are many, many definitions of being excellent, but to be excellent is to be distinct, to be distinguished, to exceed, to surpass the benchmark. And you outshine the rest, and you are a cut above others. But for us, biblical excellence is not to cut others out so that you can be excellent. It is not to compete until you become blue in the face in order to be excellent. But rather, excellence is a quality from God. Because Jesus told us, be excellent even as God is excellent. God's name is excellent. God's loving kindness is excellent. Yesterday, if you are at the praise and worship session, Pastor says, how magnificent is God's reputation? So God's reputation is excellent. And I highlight this specially to say that you are most like God. You can never be like God. Okay, there are many qualities that God has that you can never be like God. But you are most like God, and God allows you to be his friend. And God allows you to reflect his image. So you are most like God when you are excellent with the things God has put into your hands to overcome. I repeat that. You are most like God when you are excellent with the things God has put into your hands to overcome. You will feel like God. You will enjoy as God enjoys when he is put into any sort of situation. You see, Israel was intimidated by this giant called Goliath. And the Chinese has a beautiful way of describing crisis. So that's excellent. And the next thing. The Chinese have a beautiful way of describing crisis. And it is the word 危机. 危机, 危, the first word 危 means 危险, which is danger, right? But the word 机, the next one is 机会, which means opportunity. So the Chinese has a very beautiful way of capturing a struggle or a crisis. So if you are going through any struggles or any crisis, the good news is that it has its problem, but it's also an opportunity. It has its struggles, but it is also an opportunity for you to be excellent. And it was in the crisis of Israel that we saw David having that great opportunity to be excellent. See, the battle between David and Goliath is really like a battle that we are engaged on in our lives. And that is, Jesus says, in this world, you will have problems. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have danger. But hey, the Lord Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And so David's battle with the Philistines, David's battle with Goliath is a reflection of the battle that we are engaged in our life. But the good news is that God has overcome. Christ has overcome the battle just as David had also overcome Goliath. So today, if you are facing any sort of threat, any sort of crisis, remember the Chinese word that perhaps this is God's time for you to shine. Shine with the excellent God. Shine because the excellent God is with us. That you will see opportunity even in times of trouble. And today we're going to learn from David, and that's why I've got five stones. We're going to learn from David how he actually was able to keep his excellent spirit, able to trust in the excellent God, even though he went through the most intimidating sort of battle. The first one is he was good in exploration. He was good in exploration. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 26 to 32. 1 Samuel 17, 26 to 32. That's a nice stone, huh? Oh, I really went to search for stones, man. Good stones. There it says, David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch this battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. And Saul said for him, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." David is my kind of man because he uses words when he's lost. Whenever I get lost in my direction, I don't know where Mandra is and I get lost, I will always ask for directions. David is one man that will ask for directions. I would say use whatever means you need to explore the situation. When you are in a struggle, when you are in a problem situation, you can explore using whatever means. But I love to use words. I rarely lose my way, even in a foreign country, because I like to be able to go, "Hey, can I know where this is, where that is?" And David here is found to be asking people. He says, "You know, what is the reward? If you win this Philistine, what is the reward?" He asked, he explored the situation so that he can know the problems, so that he can know the possibilities, so that he can also know the plan. So with all the information regarding the extent of the threat, regarding the strength of the enemy, regarding the type of ability that is needed, you are better able to engage the battle. And then he found out that after all the exploration, that this giant, Goliath, is really not to be dreaded. He swam against popular opinion. What was the popular opinion? That this giant is really invincible. That this battle is definitely going to be on the losing end for Israel. That the Philistines are going to definitely win it. That was the popular opinion. But because David had researched, he had done exploration regarding the battle, and he knows exactly what he's able to do, he thinks that this giant is nothing to be dreaded. In fact, when I was talking with Pastor Pauline says, "That's right, Goliath is not to be dreaded. He is so big." Some people say that's the popular opinion. He's so big. But to David, he says he's too big to be missed. See? So depends on how you look at it. It is too big to be missed. And what David did was he tried to ask around, and he even asked a random man, what exactly is the situation? Sometimes it's good to ask to confirm. You ask one opinion, you ask second opinion, you ask third opinion, so that you can get a feel. Be excellent in that. Ask, don't be afraid to ask. In fact, Henry always asked me to give him three quotes, three opinions, so that we can arrive at the best quote, the best prize. You ask, you explore, be excellent in that, and then you get an excellent deal. Yeah? And not only that, not only did he ask, he was very good. He ignored what his brother said. Because the brother came and said, you know, what is it? You know, you leave the sheep behind and then you came here. You want to get lazy? You want to just, you know, watch this battle and enjoy yourself? He was going on. The brother was going on. Sometimes we need to let some of these things go out of our mind. Because if we allow people to always tell us what to do, sometimes we don't get going. So when David explored, David began to have a good feel of where he's getting at. To be excellent is not to listen to all the voices. Someone says it in a very nice acronym, is to boom, B-O-O-M, be our own man. That's really strong. I think it's a man who wrote that acronym. But I'm telling you, sometimes if you want to be excellent, you can't listen to everybody because sometimes not everybody knows where you are at and they will tell you things that are very skewed. You need to be excellent to hear what God is saying. I like this guy by the name of Mahai, Sitza Mahai. If you look at the next slide. Yeah, his name is Mahai Sitza Mahai. I practiced this for a long, long time. He's Hungarian. He's really good. He says in this model that if you explore and the challenges are very high, but your abilities are very low, then you tend to be anxious. If you see the top right, left-hand corner, is anxiety. He says, but if you explore the situation, the crisis, and then the challenge is really low, and you also have got very low abilities, then you feel apathy, like, no strength, you know, especially winter, you know, just no strength, no, just apathy. You feel sad, you feel depressed because nothing interests you. But he says if your abilities are low and your challenges are your abilities are high and your challenges are low, then you probably will be quite relaxed because, you know, you are able to deal with the situation. But he says the best thing would be when you have got high challenges and you have got high abilities. He says then you'll come to a corner here called flow where you feel really happy, you really feel focused. When David explored the situation, talked with this man, talked with his brothers, talked with this other random man, and he get a feel of exactly where he is, where do you think he is feeling? He probably will be on the right-hand side. He's relaxed, he's in control, and he is really in the flow. When we get anxious, we need to realize that if you want to get back up, is to get skills. If you get apathetic, is to get some a vision going, some dreams going. But if you are in the flow, then you'll be able to live optimally where your challenges are not a challenge to you because you have the abilities to deal with them. I think that's the best place to start life from. I pray that you will start most of your days like that. Be like David, where he went into this field and there is so much tension, but he explored the situation. He knew what he could do. He knew what Israel could do. He knew what God could do. And then he says, I'm going to be able to do this with the abilities of God. And he flowed with God. Wow! This is so good. The second one is, if you want to be excellent, like David, a warrior, serving the excellent God, is to look at your second stone, which is your experience. Your experience. And that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 33 to 37. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a lamb came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth, and when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Your experience is your edge. And all of us have got experiences that are so unique. If I give time to everybody to talk about all your years of experience, every one of us have got experiences that are very unique. David has also very unique experience. He did not attend advanced classes on armory. He did not go for how to use those weapons and how to put on the armor properly and how to put this sort of a metal shield on and carry this sort of a spear. He did not go to any advanced classes. He did not go on any protein diet that probably Goliath has been given, because, you know, as a giant, you got to feed the body. You got to give it like a lot of pump stuff and a lot of hormones. And these days, you know, we have got a lot of athletes and sportsmen who would go to all lengths just to make sure the muscles are there, the strength is there. David did not go into any of these things. In fact, the king finds him too young, too scrawny, no muscles. Maybe muscles, he was very handsome actually. But don't have that kind of a bulge like some other more experienced fighters have. But David said something. David retorted and says, no, I am really qualified. I am really qualified. How many times people want to make us feel small? In this case, the king was realistic about his strength because he was really a small man. He was really a young man. The brother would be telling him, David, please don't waste your time. Okay, these are only for big boys. Please go back and take care of the sheep. But David retorted. David did not allow all these experiences of all these mighty men to let him do something less, because he had the vision of God in his mind. He was made for this battle. And what did David say? David said, look, I take care of my father's sheep, and I'm so protective of my sheep that if anything comes after my sheep, I would kill it. He says, if you don't believe me, I will tell you my stories. He says, I've got experience. I've got experience with the lion, he says. The lion, you know, fierce as it is, I pulled it by the hair, I struck it, I kill it. No issue at all. Then a bear came, you know, tried to hug me, you know, tried to embrace me, tried to hurt me. He says, I have no issue with that as well. I pulled the same bear by the same way I pulled the lion. I pulled it, I struck it, and I kill it. This is what we call present day pitching. Yeah, some of us, we do pitching. We go to an interview and we pitch. I always tell people who go for interviews, you know, when the interviewer asks you, I think you are not qualified for this job, I think it's about time we do not agree with the interviewer. Right? Right or not? Right. I mean, if you are going for a job, you better pitch and sell your skills, sell your experience. I see David pitching here to the king. You know, he says, look, I'm not as unqualified as you think I am. I may look very small, but hey, when I was taking care of my father's sheep, killed a lion and a bear. He pitched himself. He pitched his experience. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4:8, whatever is excellent, think about this thing. I think excellence is counting your blessings one by one. It's about time we look at the experience that we have in the past and stop looking at those things that draw us away from being fully realized in our potential. It's time to be excellent in counting those experiences one by one so that you can write a new script for the future. You see, we lose hope when we go to our experience and we start looking at those things that are negative, or start looking at those things that bring us down, and we start counting them. We count and we count and we count and we get depressed. We count and we get depressed. Then we get depressed and we count again. And we never get out of that script. So our experience is our humble beginning where we see God being an economical God. I learned this early in my life that God is a very economical God. God will not let you go through any experience if it is not going to be helping you in the future. This is God. Well, but you said, but those experiences are not so good experiences. But God is an economical God. He can use a lousy experience. He can use a negative experience. He can use an insignificant experience. And he can use it for his good. He can use it and turn it around for you. That's God. He is very economical. And that's our ground of hope. Because now we are dealing with hope for this year. That's our ground of hope. If we can foster hope and courage for the future by frequently reminding ourselves of the past and how God has brought us through the lion experiences or the bear experiences, then you will live life quite differently. You see, first of all, for David, he experienced the fact. The fact was that he kept the sheep and the Lord delivered him. That was the fact that he killed the lion and he killed the lamb. That was a fact. And because his mind was focused on what is excellent, that's why the stones had a little tag there to says, focus your mind, focus your thoughts on things that are excellent. Philippians 4:8. If our minds are focused on the facts of the deliverance of God, on the times God has set us free, then it can become your personal history. You see, your history is a sum of all the experience you have that you have collected. And if your facts are positive, if your facts are encouraging, then your personal history is encouraging. And then that becomes your grateful memory. That the thing is, and I don't have time to go into the brain, but I love the brain. I love to study the brain. There's a part in your brain that will store up memories. And so if you, and your visual, your eyes are connected to your brain. So if you see in your mind's eye a lot of facts that God has set you free, that God has delivered you from the lion and the bear, and it becomes a personal history, that information, that experience is stored up in your brain to let you know, hey, you have hope. You have hope. Your experience is used by God to bring you hope. Amen. I was at a party the other day. One psychiatrist friend asked if I could meet some of his doctor friends, and I said, okay, it would be quite nice to go and, you know, go to that party. And so I went there, and then he was doing this whole thing about introducing this person to that person, and so on. And then he started to introduce me, and I was quite surprised he introduced me this way. It's quite interesting. He says, well, she is one person I would refer my clients to, she said. I said, okay. He says, why wouldn't I? Number one, she's a pastor, and then she's a psychologist, and then she can speak Hokkien, and she can speak Teochew, Cantonese, Mandarin, and English. Like that. And it was like, I don't know where to hide my face, but I went back and I reflected and I said, thank God, because in Perth, in the directory of all the psychologists and all that, I was known to be one of the only multilingual psychologists. So I get a lot of clients that people couldn't deal with, and they all send them to me. But I tell you the experience that I have. You see, these things are not formally trained. I train for my psychology, but I never train for my Hokkien or my Teochew. These are experiences, because when I was younger, see, I'm the firstborn. So, firstborn, and my family is very big. My mother, 16 children, and 16 siblings. And then my father, also another 8 siblings. And then with that, all those siblings, a lot of relatives from Malaysia. I'm the oldest one in the family. And so whenever all these relatives would come, I would always come out as a firstborn. I'm the oldest girl. I would sit on a stool and I would talk with every one of them. Young, old, My psychologist training started from my mother's house when I was six and I had to sit on the stool and I... Your experience. Hokkien was my father's dialect, so I speak Hokkien to my father. Teochew was my mother's dialect, so I speak Teochew to my mother. Cantonese was my church dialect. I listened to the interpretation of Cantonese to English, and very soon I realized, oh, like that. So I learned Cantonese as well. Mandarin is my second language in school. English, of course, is my first language. See? Experience. You have all the experiences in your hands already. And you get excellent because God will use your experience just as he used the experience of David. Amen? Amen? How many of you say, I have got rich experience? Raise your hand. I want everyone to raise your hands. That's very good. That's really good. God will use your experiences. The next area is of excellence that David displayed and his trust in an excellent God is this area of his expertise. He has got expertise. Not only has he got experience, he's got expertise. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 38 to 44, it says there, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, but he was not used to them. I cannot go in this, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and to the wild animals. He could be snarling a lot worse than I do, you know. I was a little bit contained. When I was a teacher, I used to do that noise and they all get scared. In fact, my kids, whenever I read story to them at night, they get kind of like scared. He says, Mom, please cool down. Anyway, expertise. Be excellent in your expertise. All of you have got expertise and you need to stay true to your expertise. And whatever you put into practice that has worked, you persist in it, even though sometimes you may be criticized. Like, you know, why can't you wear this armor? Why can't you hold the spear the way you should? Or how come you cannot hold the shield as a real warrior should, you know? Whatever people say about your expertise, don't worry about it, okay? You need to stay true to your expertise just like David did. David is so good with his five stones and a sling. He mastered it so well. He wasn't comfortable with whatever Saul was giving him. And he actually said, I will just use my five stones and my sling. I don't know which comes first. I tried to do some research, but I just couldn't get the right order. If you read 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, you find that a whole army of Saul was using the five stones and the sling. So it wasn't David that is only using the five stones and sling. The whole army of Saul, in other words, Israel, in their military warfare, has got five stones and a sling. If you go and read 1 Chronicles chapter 12, I don't know which is which because I couldn't get the right order. Whether David used it and the whole army of Israel love it and they use it, or the army use it and then David kind of like caught on. I'm not sure. But whatever it is, whatever that is most natural to you that you have been practicing for years and years and years and get really good at it, that's your expertise. That's your expertise. Some people say 10,000 hours is already been debunked. So it's not just 10,000 hours, but things that you do regularly that you really felt very good at it. That's your expertise. You need to realize that you can only be excellent in what you do best. So you need to find out from God and find out from people what is your signature expertise. You see, for Samson, what was his signature expertise? It was his hair. His strength comes from his hair. So he's got to take care of his what? Hair. The minute he cut his hair off, that's his strength all gone. That's for Samson. I'm not talking about any other people. It's just Samson because of the way he was being brought up. And he was a priest after that order, yeah, where hair is very important. So he needs to take care of his hair, his signature expertise. What about Paul? Paul, his signature expertise was his intellect. It was his knowledge. It was his leadership. He used it later on in the Christian world to be able to write all the epistles, be able to train all the people that were with him. And today, we enjoy modern Christianity. We enjoy the spread of the gospel because Paul used his expertise to do something for his generation and for this generation as well. What is your signature expertise? That is what's going to bring you great excellence. It's going to show you before kings, as the Bible says. If you can sharpen your axe in that area of your expertise, the Bible tells us that you will appear before kings, appear before officials. That's what the Bible is saying. You need to know. For Dorcas, what was Dorcas? Dorcas' most powerful expertise was her ability to sew. She sewed so well, and she sought for all the widows in that town that when she finally passed on, all the widows rallied together and say, "We want Dorcas, we want," not the Dorcas, huh? "We want Dorcas, the seamstress." I caught myself saying this is not in my notes. And what happened? The apostles raised Dorcas from the dead. Dorcas knew how to use her signature expertise. What is your signature expertise? Someone told me, and it's quite fresh. He says, your signature expertise is empathy. I said, "Oh." So empathy has given me some money to spend because I counsel, and therefore, using my empathy, I get my income. What is your signature expertise? You need to go and find out, because that will give you your edge of excellence. Amen. If you're waiting for the fourth stone, here it comes. You'll be excellent, really excellent in this fourth stone. This fourth stone is my most preferred stone. I love this stone the best. And that is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 to 47. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 45 to 47. And this fourth stone is called exaltation. Exaltation. It says there, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel whom you defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's." Huh, Jack? That song, beautiful song. "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into my hands." See, David distinguished himself from the whole band of Israelites who were shivering every time the Philistines shouted insults. Some people are like that. They get really scared because people shout at them. Sometimes it happens in a family too. Sometimes it happens in your workplace, in your university, wherever there are people who would want to shout you into submission or shout you into cowardice. There will be people like that, okay? There are some who have got very loud voices, black faces, strong eyes, glaring looks, overbearing posture, all kinds, huh? But you know what I'm trying to say. There are a lot of people who would put us into that sort of an environment. But David distinguished himself from the fearful band of Israelites. David has the dare of God. You know why David has the dare of God? Because David spent time with God in the field. Whenever he takes care of the sheep, he is a worshiper. He takes care of the sheep and he sings the Lord's goodness. He exalts the Lord. He says, I and the name of the Lord Almighty. I and the God of the armies of Israel. I and the battle of the Lord. You see, when we are able to spend time with the Lord, when holy men spend time in the presence of the excellent God, something happens to them. The excellencies of God gets downloaded into their DNA. So when holy people spend time, and that's why we all pastors, I think we are like a broken record. We always tell you, read the Bible, pray, read the Bible, pray, read the Bible, pray. The reason is because when you are in the presence of God and you're a holy person, you will, as you exalt the Lord, experience a transference of God's excellencies into you so that you have the fresh ideas of God, the pure ideas of God, the deep ideas of God, the hopeful ideas of God, so that when you are dealing with a situation in your life that calls for you to be brave, you have that courage. That's why Cho Yong-gi says, I never go to Japan unless I pray for hours and hours and hours. Because Pastor Cho Yong-gi knows that if he has got a battle as big as Japan, because Japan is really a hardened ground, he needs to really be spending time in the presence of God. Because you wouldn't have the dare of God if you go to that place if you are not already courageous. And this courage is not adrenaline. I study adrenaline. I study all the chemicals. There are some chemicals that will make you really action-packed and very courageous and very brave, but they are not sustainable. Only when we spend time in the mighty presence of God can the fire of God burn in your heart everlastingly. Is that such a word? Don't know. In an everlasting fashion. That's what the Bible tells us about the light in Revelation, the light that never goes off. That fire will keep you going and going and going. See, David is a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. David's foe was Goliath. Jesus' foe was sin and death. And when David killed Goliath, it is God's way of saying, look, thousands of years later, my son will also kill the ultimate foe from this earth, and that is to conquer sin and death, so that by his death we are able to live life. Like in communion time when Xiang led us, is that it is not fair, because Jesus did everything, but it's not fair. That's why it's called grace. Jesus conquered sin and death so that we can live life and live it abundantly. You see, when you exalt the Lord, you will be more than conquerors. You will be the one who will triumph in Christ, because sword and javelin and everything are powerful weapons, but they are never as powerful as exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning when I was praying for you, this beautiful song just keep resonating in my mind. Maybe we should sing this together. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Is it too low? Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Exalt the Lord. Exalt the Lord. You and the Lord is a majority. And the more you exalt the Lord, the more excellent you get to be in whatever you are doing. The strength that is in you is really invincible. It is not taken away easily by circumstances or by problems or by people. The strength that God has for you, that song in your heart, when you exalt Him, will lead you and lead you and lead you on and on and on. It's amazing. That's how we can be excellent. To be excellent is not to be perfectionistic. It's not leading you to be perfectionistic and more perfectionistic and do it your way and you just, you know, plow on. Because sometimes being perfectionistic will take your energy away. And sometimes we live life thinking we need to be doing things perfectly because maybe mom says so, or auntie says so, or uncle says so. And then you kind of like strive towards that perfectionism. But then the more you strive, the more your energy goes away. And that's because it's not excellence. It's just being perfect in the perfectionistic way. It is not a maturity. It is not an excellence. It's just going on and on and on, taking your energy away. I pray that as you exalt the Lord, that God will give you an energy that is able to last you for a long time. Praise the Lord. The last one, the last stone is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 48 to 51. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead. He fell face down on the ground. I love this, you know. When you throw a stone at somebody's head and the impact is really great, what would the person actually be doing? He probably would fall backwards. But the giant fell forward. That's a great insight there. Somebody says, you know, every knee must bow before the mighty God. Huh? So Goliath, before he died, got to fall face down to worship the Lord before he takes his last breath. That is really, really interesting. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. If we want to be excellent, we need to execute the plan. So the last stone is execution, is to execute the plan that God has put into our heart. God has put into the heart of David to vanquish this enemy from the camp of the Philistine, that is Goliath, so that Israel will be free, that Israel will be set free from this oppression. That was the plan. But can you imagine if God has spoken to David, and David thinks it's a good idea? In fact, he thought it was a God idea. And he was so transfigured by this whole experience. And he was so blown away by how God is going to set the Israelites free. And he was telling everybody about the plan and telling everybody about the plan. But he never executed it. He never actually went to the battlefield. He never actually took the stone from his pouch and do something with the stone. Can you imagine what would have happened? This chapter would not have been written. But David executed the plan. David put the plan into action. Some of us, God has put into our mind and our spirit man a lot of dreams and visions. Maybe it's time to do some execution of those dreams and visions, because God wants to show His excellency to you. Yeah. And for David, it was running towards the giant. It was looking at him like the lion, like the bear, and he took Goliath down with one stone. See, when David executed the plan, he kindled in Israel a new spirit. See, people get to be vigorous, people get to be enthusiastic because of the influence of a heroic act. If you have heard from God and you execute the plan, and you actually execute that plan, and it brings benefit to the community, you are what we call a hero. Children love heroes. In fact, adults love heroes. I love superheroes. I never thought I love to watch Spider-Man, but I do. Because I like Toby. And I would try and watch as many Spider-Man series as possible. Some of you might not like Spider-Man. Some of you like other sort of superheroes. We all like superheroes. A superhero is an ordinary person. Of course, in cartoon, it's a different story. But in real life, a superhero is someone who has got an idea from God that will benefit people around them, and they execute the idea and they bring benefit to the people around them. That's why they are called heroes, or that's why they are called superhero. David was a true leader. He was a type of Jesus, because David's life was a rehearsal of Christ's temptation in the garden and how Christ won victory a few thousand years later. Jesus faced the battle of life and death, and Jesus vanquished death in the face, and he says, "Death, where is your sting?" Not he says, Paul says, "Death, where is your sting?" And he brought life to the nation. Jesus is the hero of our faith, because he took what was needed, the plan of the Father, and he execute the plan of the Father even to the extent of going to the cross. I pray that we are inspired by the example of David, inspired by the example of Jesus, that whatever God has put into your heart to do, it is good that you explore. It is good that you don't let your experience be a hindrance, but you count your experience one by one. Focus on the excellent things. And then realize that you have got the expertise to deal with it. You have the expertise to bring about the work that God wants you to do, whether it's in your uni or in your school or in your workplace or in your family. God wants you to exalt Him on a daily basis, have your energy recharged by the Lord so that you're able to execute whatever plans God has put into your heart. This is our value. Excellence is our value for the church. And I pray that whatever your hands have been put to do, that you will do it excellently. Excellently. Because the excellent God is with you, in you, and always empowering you. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.